Hello, welcome. I'm George Massey. It's the George Massey Show. We're going to talk about The Last Resort, episode 6. We're going to get into that. Kara's going to join us. So I'm getting a cold, y'all. You can probably hear it. I don't know how I'm getting sick because it was actually hot today. It's been cold for the last week, but I'm getting sick. Ooh, Kara's here. Yeah, there was some drama that happened on this episode, and we now that we know the information with Jasmine, we're seeing things a little differently, right? Like, I feel like we're seeing things through a different lens.
Hi.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm freezing. How are you?
It was hot here today, but I'm sick. I'm getting sick.
Well,
I'm not fully sick, but I'm like, you know, I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I feel for you, though, because I know up north, it's bad everywhere.
I'm so cold.
Yeah. It's freezing. It was cold here for the last week, and then we're hitting a cold front starting this week, and it's going to be in the low 30s.
What's your cold?
The low 30s is what they're reporting, which for here is completely outrageous, right? Like, people here are not used to low 30s in the Sunshine State. So,
ass off.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm sick, because even when it was cold, like, it was like 40 something at night and then like 60 during the day, and I was still dressing like it was hot.
Yeah.
So now I think that's why, because I was like, oh, it's not that cold. We don't get cold here. And now I'm sick. So my fault. All right. So episode 6, no Darcy. Darcy wasn't there. I'm beginning to think somebody might have lied to us. Remember they said that Darcy was going to show up. Where is Darcy at?
She'll be there.
She would. She posted it, and then other people verified. They're like, oh yeah, Darcy's going to show up. No Darcy. Oh, Happy New Year, Eileen. Thank you. Yeah, and I'm just wondering when. So we got the aftermath of the drink throwing fight. And apparently the drink that Jasmine threw or poured out was Florian's, not Gino's. And Florian kind of went off. So I wanted to get your opinion, because Stacy said he was disrespectful to Jasmine. And, you know, Florian disagreed. Florian was like, the problem is Jasmine, not me. She needs to learn how to control herself. She needs to mind her own business. I'm not her husband. So how do you feel? Do you feel like Florian should have been put out on the couch for what he did and how he handled it?
Florian's the real MVP.
Well, that was my thought too, because most of the guys felt the same way about Jasmine and the way she handled that situation. Everybody was annoyed with her. And I don't know. I kind of felt like Jasmine didn't like the idea that he was having fun. Right? Yeah. Like, it's kind of been her life goal to belittle him, demean him. You know how somebody, they make you feel so small to the point where you can't leave because you don't think anybody else wants you? I kind of feel like Jasmine is the female version of that person. Yeah. Like, I feel like she's like, if I make him feel like he has no one wants him, he's not good at anything, he'll be mine forever. And then I can do whatever I want and walk all over him. And I don't think he'll be strong enough to leave me.
Yep.
And I get that vibe from her. And now that we know this new information about her, right? Because we weren't working with the full deck. We didn't know exactly what was going on. So when they filmed this, they weren't together. So now we're working.
Was it just me? Or were you watching every episode to see her belly?
Right before we went live, I went and started Between the Sheets. And ironically, it started with her holding the little baby crocodile tonight.
Yep.
So now I'm looking at everything differently now. And I'm like, well, wait, now I really need to see. Because a lot of people are saying the video she posted today with the hoodie and the baby, they're like, she doesn't look pregnant. And I was like, guys, babies come, is a 9-month process. And there's two ways that the baby comes, through birth, or God forbid, a miscarriage or an abortion. There's only two directions, right, that it can go. So I'm telling you guys, she was pregnant.
Yep.
I'm not telling you what happened after. I don't know her. But
she's still pregnant.
Well, that video did a good job, though, of making it look like she wasn't. Because I was looking and I'm...
But we know how this filming goes. So this was filmed over a year ago. And then they bring in all the cast members to do Between the Sheets within the last couple of months, because FBI Kara zoomed in on one of the phones and saw that it was November 2024. So
wait, how did you see that? Which phone?
I don't remember. Somebody, hold on. I have a screenshot.
I didn't even realize that. I didn't notice it. So you saw the somebody's phone iPhone screen and you saw a date?
Okay. Okay. No, wait, wait. It wasn't an iPhone. I take that back. It was the scene where Benny, what I think it was Benny, and he was joking around and he had the director's thing and he clipped it and it said, hold on, I have it. I took a picture.
Oh, you mean when they're about to, when they say action, the little director's black board.
Yep.
Okay, okay, I think digital, I saw that.
It's digital and it has the date on it. So I zoomed in, took a picture. Hold on, just keep talking. I got this. I'll find it.
This is interesting.
Yep.
Very, very interesting. So this is good because now we can try to do like a timeline of how far along she might be, because that was my next thing. Cause I was like, some women don't really, really show until 6 months. So I was like, what if it's like a bump that she's able to hide? Because apparently she's been in Florida for a while and nobody noticed it until recently. So I was like, maybe she's one of those women. Cause some women will be pregnant and you can tell in the third month that they're pregnant. Then some women, you don't see anything until 6 months. So I was like, well, how far along is she? Cause I know she didn't have it yet. Because the people that saw her at the grocery store said that she was pregnant like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I know there's no actual baby. So I'm really, really wondering, you know, what this timeline is. Oh, and another interesting turn of events. So Shibuti said that Matt, the mechanic bestie, blocked him yesterday.
Oh.
And another interesting fact, the mechanic's ex. So the woman that Gina was out to dinner with is Matt's ex. So it gets a little messy. And
hold on.
Oh my God, 10/16/24. So that's when they were filming.
Yeah.
Between the sheets. So, and with, so, okay, that's about the time that we kept seeing all the videos of everybody in New York.
Yep.
They were there for a little less than a week. So, yeah, that adds up. So, let's say she was like 2 months pregnant then.
She's not even.
That would. She's not going to show now. So, I wonder if the fact that this got leaked is somebody who knows her released the information on purpose.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm beginning to wonder, because a lot of people are like, she doesn't look pregnant. I was like, so maybe the information came from someone she thought she trusted and they maybe had a falling out.
Yeah.
And now they're releasing the info. And that's why she's covering her ass, which I know makes sense, because if the show thinks that she's the reason why it got leaked, that's a violation of her NDA and she won't get paid.
Yeah.
So it's her responsibility to cover her ass. So she's making all these videos, pretending like everything is fine. But one thing you can't do is deny a pregnancy, because there'll be a baby. How will you explain the baby? It's like, you can say is until you're purple, I'm not pregnant, I don't have a baby, I'm not dating anyone. But then when we see you in so many months holding a baby, you have some explaining to do.
Yeah. It's,
right?
It'll be her sister. It's fine. It's her sister.
A lot of people are really pissed off because they're like, what about her other two kids? And one of them is special needs, right? And that those children are very attached to the parents, especially her. So the fact that she's been gone all this time and now she's starting a new family, a lot of people aren't happy. They're like, well, now I don't like her even more, you know, because they're like, I'm sick of the fact, you know, of seeing her all the time. But now that she's going to go out and start a new family, because, you know, that's what a lot of guys do. That's an MO when a relationship doesn't work. They divorce the woman, leave the family, start a new family. Women don't typically do that. So they're putting Jasmine like in another category of shitty. You know, like they're like, well, that's even worse than I thought she was as a human being. She's just like starting a new family like her other one didn't exist. Kind of like Larissa. Remember Larissa? Larissa kind of did that. She didn't have any extra kids.
Doesn't have her kids.
She doesn't speak of them, which is so weird.
Yep.
Right? Because when she was coming over, when we saw her in her home country, she was like, I'm going to move in with Cole, and then I'm going to bring my kids over. And it was like a conversation. She was talking about it. Then she got over here, and it's almost like she forgot.
Yeah.
Like, she never even mentioned them. Like, when they were talking about the wedding, where they were going to live, kicking Debbie out, nothing had anything to do with the kids. And I'm like, Jasmine is kind of turning into that. As ever since she's been here, she's been really focused on lots of different things. Remember the pageant? Going to Miami to see her friend at his Airbnb. There's a lot of things that she's been focusing on. None of them are her kids.
And
that's interesting. Oh, On other news, Tiger Lily blocked me on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta see them block. Hold on, let me check.
So her and her fake 700,000 followers are blocked. Tiger Lily, I'm just gonna say I didn't lose any sleep, and also I wasn't following you anyway, so I'm fine.
Hold on, because if I'm not blocked, I'm gonna get blocked. I'm not blocked yet.
She didn't get you yet, which is interesting because I don't follow her. I've never tweeted her. I've never said anything at her. So apparently somebody told her I said something and it rubbed her the wrong way. Oh. And I guess the Wi-Fi in her cheap motel was able to get online last night and she didn't like it. So
she said,
sorry.
I'm gonna block this George guy.
Because he said that my Lamborghini is not gonna hold the car seat for the kids that I don't even have custody of. And Adnan is like really stupid.
Said that my Louis is fake and he's right.
It is. It totally is. It's a hair store Louis. And actually, we saw her buy one of them at the bazaar in Jordan for like $20. If you drive a $200,000 car, you're not going to carry a $20 Louis. I'm just going to say, not even trying to be rude, little Tiger Lily, like for real. I wasn't even coming for you. I was basically just calling you out for your crap.
Oh, Tiger,
like there's a difference.
Tiger Lily, I'm coming for
you. I wasn't bullying you. I was just saying, if you're going to try to, look, us 90 Day Fiancé fans and super fans of the show are not stupid. If you want to pull one past us, you got to bat a little better than the way you're batting. Because honestly, you're striking out with us because you put information out there, you need to be able to back it up because we're gonna verify it, okay? Like you're not gonna sit here and tell us that you buy Rolex watches and you drive a Lambo and then you're gonna tell us you live in a hotel that doesn't even have a full kitchenette. I didn't see no sink. Tiger Lily, I didn't see no sink. So what
she
are you washing?
Bathroom to fill her ramen. God.
Can you imagine driving a Lambo and then you got to make ramen in the bathroom sink? Can you make it make sense? I'm just okay. You know what? We're getting off topic. We're getting off topic. So Florian called Jasmine a bitch. That was a big topic on the show tonight, and Stacey was angry about it. And okay, I'm gonna be real. I was raised in Louisiana as a Christian boy, Seventh-day Adventist Christian boy. You're never supposed to call a woman a bitch, no matter the situation, regardless of the circumstance. I will allow this only because she kind of is. And the way that she reacted towards everyone there, I mean, yeah, you can react a little aggressively towards your husband because that's your other half. You know, that's a part of your life. But you can't just go and get in other people's husbands' faces and scream and throw their drinks and act crazy. I think every action has a reaction and a consequence. And I think Jasmine has made it a really long way not having to take any responsibility for her bad, her bad attitude and her decisions and her actions. And I think, yeah, that was harsh. That's someone's mom. I don't think that you should call people that word. But if she was acting that way, you know, you can't change a tiger stripes, right? Right, Carl? You can't change a tiger stripes.
I was calling her more than a bitch. So, I mean, I'm just putting that out there.
Well, Donna says drunk Gino was giving you life. I think drunk Gino is the happiest Gino I've ever seen in my life.
Absolutely.
Right? And I was like, damn, I didn't even know Gino knew how to have fun. But I'm beginning to think the reason why Gino is so unhappy is because Jasmine was always around. And I think Jasmine is the fun police. When she showed up and she saw that he was happy, that was a really big trigger. She was super triggered. Because remember, Jasmine was totally fine. They had a good day. The girls came back. They had a really good day. She got there and she realized that her husband, who she has spent, dedicated over a year to making miserable, was happy. She was like, oh, hell no.
Yep.
How dare you think that you can enjoy yourself without my permission,
and
right?
Just before that, she was playing moderator to Sophie and Natalie. Like, she was having a good time. Why can't we all just get along? Blah, blah, blah. Josh is in the wrong. Here's what the text said. Let's just all get along and then watch me go freaking psycho as soon as I see my husband.
So Jasmine said that Florian needed therapy. I wrote it down because I thought it was the most ironic comment made tonight. Well, no, there were some other ironic comments because Jasmine or Natalie and Josh were talking too. But I wanted to say it's really interesting that Jasmine, who met her husband on a sugar baby website, who happens to be pregnant right now by someone that's not her husband, is saying what therapy other people need.
Yeah.
And it's like, first of all, y'all are all there because you all need therapy. So one calling one kettle blacker than the other or whatever, it's crazy to me. But that's just how judgmental she is. She hasn't had sex with her husband in almost a year. And she said multiple times at the resort she wants her own personal boyfriend. But now she's saying how other people need help because they're never going to make it in their relationship. It just made me feel like, you got room to talk, though? Like, your relationship is you trying to get a boyfriend to have sex with because your husband won't touch you because all you do is tell your husband how inadequate he is as a man.
Yep.
You know, like, there's a lot of therapy in there for y'all too if you would stop worrying about everybody around you and worry about your issues.
I cannot wait to see this baby destroy her body.
Well, ooh, that's true. I mean, most of her body isn't even real.
No.
But so there's going to be a lot of stretch marks because let's be real, Jasmine is like, this is her waist.
Yep.
Right, can you see that?
Yeah.
So a baby is going to literally destroy any ounce of skin anywhere around. And, you know, stress marks are forever.
Yep.
I didn't know that until a woman explained it to me because I was like, oh, wow, what are you going to do about that? And she was like, nothing. You can't do anything about it. You can't go to the gym. You can't work them out. You can't stretch it back. They're just there forever.
Yep.
So I'm really wondering if she was trying to get pregnant because she, you know, she kept saying on the show, she's like, oh, I want to have a kid. I want to have a kid. That would make everything better. I'm beginning to think maybe she was bluffing, and I'm beginning to think maybe she was messing around with this guy and got pregnant unplanned.
Yeah.
I just don't see Jasmine as really, really wanting another kid. And, you know, it's funny because Yoshiko said last night, he was like, oh, I don't see the motherly instinct in Vanja. I don't know. Jasmine, I don't question people's ability to mother and be a good mom or whatever, but when it comes to motherly instincts in Jasmine, it's a little contrast, right? Like, I don't see it happening. Again, I've never seen her mothering her kids. I've never met her in person. She might be a good mom. But when I see her in the way that she acts and how, I think what gets it for me is she only thinks about Jasmine in every single situation. And, you know, a good mother knows how to think about someone other than herself. That's what makes you a motherly instinct person.
Yeah.
That you have to be selfless in order to be a mother. And I think Jasmine has never entered a situation without Jasmine being the number one priority in that situation, right?
Nope. She has no clue. Like, what? She has no idea what her kids are going through right now. She has no idea if they're doing good in school. She has no idea if they have good grades. She has no idea if her daughter's pregnant.
I forgot. Yeah. So, yeah, the daughter is actually probably 18 now, right? Because she was like 16.
Yeah.
When she left, yeah, she's grown now. You're right. She, what if the daughter wants to get married? Is Jasmine even going to want to be there? Is she going to want to be a part of it? Because Jasmine is only worried about Jasmine. She made sure that she was there for the pageant.
Yeah.
But what about the boys? What if the boys made, like, football team, basketball team? What if they made the honor roll? Was she there?
I don't know
if it's a priority. And I think that's scary because now she's having another kid. And that's kind of with Tiger Lily, too. It's like Tiger Lily got two kids already. She's having another one. And I know a lot of people came at me. They were like, oh, well, just because she lives in a hotel doesn't mean that she's a bad mom. And I was like, you're right. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that. But I think that the fact that she left an apartment that she could have renewed the lease at, which would have been a better environment for her kids to go to a hotel, I don't like the decision-making that she's doing. Because you have to always think about your kids. So, like, say, for instance, you don't want to give your kids fast food every day, but the hotel doesn't have a sink. It doesn't have a stove, you know? So I think that the decisions that you make are very, very important. And I think, again, like Jasmine, Tiger Lily is a main character syndrome person. So, like, it's always about her. The kids are a part of it, but it's whatever is going to work best for her. And I think that's what Tiger makes it questionable.
The fact that Tiger Lily just packs her bags, her fake Louis bags, and heads to Turkey to get married without any family or anything, and then packs her bags to go have Thanksgiving over there, and doesn't even think about her kids here, doesn't mention them, doesn't say anything about them. I'm sorry, I can't say you win Mom of the Year award. I just can't. Well, maybe she's a great mom.
It's a weird situation because she wanted to spend Thanksgiving with him and his family and not her kids. And I'm not saying that maybe the dad said, no, you can't bring my kids to turkey. He might have said that. But it never crossed her mind, like, well, they don't even celebrate Thanksgiving in Turkey. I could spend any day with them and say it's Thanksgiving. I should just stay home and do it with my kids. Yep. And then, because again, they don't celebrate it there. So she could have showed up in October and said they were having Thanksgiving dinner. She waited until the actual day and that her kids weren't able to spend it with her. So she could spend it with these people that she doesn't even know. I don't know. It's just, it's a process. It's a thought process. And
she threw peas and cream of mushroom soup in a bowl and called it green bean casserole and made turkey parts for dinner, for crying out loud. I'm not concerned with her kitchen and her hotel.
That's true.
Probably top of the line.
That's true. You're 100% right. I don't think that the proper equipment is the problem. You're right. That I still have nightmares to this day of that green bean casserole.
Oh my God.
I have nightmares. It just looked like regurgitated sewage.
Yeah.
And she was like, I hope you guys like it. And I'm thinking, like, I hope these people are alive tomorrow. That's more so what I'm worried about. You probably poisoned them. I don't even know what this is. I'm not even sure I can, like, name each ingredient. None of it was supposed to be in a green bean casserole.
No.
Whatever she put in it, I don't know what it was.
I was also concerned about the turkey parts when you don't even have Google on your phone to convert Celsius to Fahrenheit.
Why?
The turkey parts couldn't be done.
I don't understand how she's never heard of Google. It's just confusing to me. Because she's like, how do you convert math? Like, how do you do math? Math is so hard. And Adnan won't help me with math. Like, what do you mean, how do you do math? You either get a calculator on your phone or you open Google. No one is Einstein, lady. We pull out the phone and we figure it out. What does she even mean? Like, I really believed 100% that she was pretending. And now that I know that she lives in a hotel with her kids, and do you remember the pile of wood that they showed on the screen?
Yes.
That was her cabin?
Yes.
It was just a pile of wood and some bricks. And she's like, I bought a cabin for me and Adnan. And then they show this picture on the screen. It's a pile of pieces of wood and then some bricks stacked on top of the wood. And I was like, so where's the cabin? Are you going to build the cabin? Was there a cabin
it's
there?
It's a whole ass dump site. Like, it's the whole landfill.
Honestly, did she even buy a cabin, or was she driving down a dirt country road and she saw a pile of stuff and snapped the picture of it and sent it to the producers and said that was her cabin? Like, I'm not putting it past her at this point. Because I was like, is this really your cabin, or is that like the remnants of a fire that happened a couple years ago?
Yes.
That's what it looks like to me. Yes. It kind of just looks like the remnants of a fire and nobody ever cleaned it up. And she was driving somewhere in Texas and was like, oh, I'll send this to the producers. Because, you know, the producers are like, send us a picture of the big mansion you bought, you know, because she's a liar. And she's like, oh, well, I'll just send you a picture of this. And it's like a house fire that happened 3 years ago and they never cleaned it up.
Yes.
Oh, I wanted to bring something up today, and you're not going to want to hear this, but Natalie was talking to Josh today, and Josh is a gaslighter, and he was gaslighting her, and I was like, oh my God, I hate to say this, but I don't think Natalie is like a whack job, like completely. I do think that, because he said something that pissed me off. He was like, oh, well, she was like, oh, well, I want to invite you, or whatever. He was, and oh no, it was, who I'm with is a whack job and I can't see myself staying with her. He's like, oh, well, that wasn't worded correctly. And I was like, how else do you word my girlfriend or this girl that I know is a whack job, but I don't want to be with her? There's not a lot of different ways to say that.
I mean, you can say she's batshit crazy and I'm afraid to turn my back because she's either going to kill me or stalk me.
Right.
And that's legit.
I'm beginning to think that Natalie... Don't get me wrong, she's crazy. She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But I think that Josh is feeding her enough hope for her not to let go as long as there's a show hanging in the balance. So, like, for instance, between The Single Life and this show, he probably didn't call her very much. And then when there were talks of this show, all of a sudden she's getting calls and texts like, what are you up to? What are you doing? Where are you? I'm gonna come see you. I'm beginning to think, because don't get me wrong, I'm not Team Natalie. Like, I don't wanna get into that realm. But I do think that for her to continue hanging on to this pipe dream of being with Josh, there has to be somebody feeding her something. And I think for her, it doesn't have to be much, right? Like, a text every couple of weeks is enough for her to hang on to the pipe dream. I'm beginning to think also, since he knows that she's missing like 80 screws from the toolbox, I also think it's really unfair for him to play this game with her because he knows that she's not operating with the full deck. So I feel like it's almost like abuse to play these games with her because he knows that she's not fully there.
Are you even concerned where her freaking mom is? Like, where's her mom?
I don't know. That's a good question. You're right, because her mom is always with her. Her mom can't drive, and she doesn't speak English. Yeah. So you're right. Who's taking care of her right now?
She's getting a paycheck from TLC. That's all that
matters. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. Because, yeah, her mom can't drive. She's really old, actually, and frail, and she can't speak a lick of English.
Yep.
So leaving her alone in California with nobody to help her would be horrible. She has no way to get around.
Yeah. So this is all so freaking staged. Like, we knew it was staged going into it, but the fact that her mom is 100% solely dependent on her tells me that she's at the resort too. But I don't give a shit how cuckoo you are. I mean, we know she's 50 shades of crazy.
Okay? Yes.
No matter
undeniably.
No matter how crazy you are, you're not chasing any damn man or woman for 3 freaking years without ever being to their house, without ever knowing their address, without any of that shit. And then you're going to go on a retreat? For fuck's sake, George, none of this is legit. You don't go to a retreat with someone that you don't even know where they live. You go for marriage counseling.
You're right.
You
don't go to a retreat with someone that you couldn't locate on the street. You're right. This is all BS. And for some reason, we're buying into this BS. And I don't know. It's really annoying because I want the show to be as real as possible. And I know it's reality TV. You're not going to get 100% real out of it. But I think out of all the couples, Josh and Natalie are the one. Well, no, Rob and Sophie, too. They're pretending. And Rob said something tonight that made me realize he was pretending because he was like, oh, yeah, tonight's activity is kayaking. He's like, that's fun. I own a kayak. And I was like, look at you. You started in a house with no running plumbing inside, and now you're kayaking because you pretended to be married to a girl that you don't like for 3 seasons. Now I totally understand the struggle and what y'all are doing. Yeah. This dude, his car had like a piece of, do you remember his car? He had like a piece of wood to
it
hold up
like
the trunk.
A stone car.
Yes.
He was,
yes. And now he's
literally
kayaking.
Running to start it. Yeah.
He owns a kayak. He's kayaking. It changed his life. That's why every time Rob and Sophie get another opportunity to be on the show, they're like, oh, yeah, we're still together.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we're still together. That's my wife, of course. She didn't leave me a year ago.
Yeah.
I didn't do OnlyFans with butt plugs. I don't know what you're talking about. Let's do another season. You know, like,
she's not a lesbian. She doesn't have a girlfriend. It's fine.
Well, no, Shelly, I'm not. I don't hate Rob. I don't, like, okay, so Shelly is Team Rob. I'm totally fine with that. I've been Team Rob since their first season. Sophie was really, really good at making it seem like she was a victim in a really bad situation. And then as I got to know her, I realized that she is the thief of joy. Any person that Sophie is going to be with is not going to be happy because Sophie doesn't know how to be happy. Every time she opens her mouth, it's to complain. Anytime the therapist asks her a question, she just complains about something happening around her. Either Rob, the situation, the internet, other girls, just something that's always bothering her. And it's like your inner happiness comes from within. It's like you can't go and marry someone and be like, this person is going to make me happy. That's not possible. Other people can't make you happy. So I am Team Rob, but I also think Rob and Sophie have been BSing us since the beginning. I don't think Rob and Sophie were ever really in a relationship.
I agree.
I think they saw an opportunity and the opportunity looks good, just like Jabri and Miona. They saw a really good opportunity. It was lucrative. It's got them a bunch of followers. They made an executive decision and they followed through. Don't get me wrong. They had to literally get married to make it happen, but marriages are temporary.
Yeah, but
they don't have to stay married forever.
I thought a lot about this, like Jabri and Miona's wedding. Okay, I'm ordained. I've married quite a few people and there's a process behind it.
Yeah.
I could literally, if I was going on a TV show, I could have Joe Schmo from the street come and read some words, say we're married, and never file a lick of paperwork. So none of that's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, the ceremony isn't even real. All you have to do is just turn in the marriage license.
Yeah.
Like, because technically the ceremony is irrelevant. As long as you have somebody ordained sign the marriage license, they don't even have to do the ceremony. You could just tell them, I don't want to even hear the words. Yeah. All they have to do is sign it when you sign it and you're married. Yeah. And, you know, they got married 2 years before, which, you know, I don't knock their hustle.
But
either.
They just,
there's nothing
random. These are random people. Random freaking people are like, okay, I now pronounce you a husband and wife. You may kiss your bride. Ta-ta for now.
No, you're right. You're right. This whole thing has been... Oh, one more thing. The rowing exercise, there was a disqualification. So apparently, Natalie and Josh cheated.
Yeah.
Which was pretty obvious, right? And then everyone called them out on it, and they were like, oh, who cares? And then they actually got disqualified, which was the first good thing to happen, right? Like, I hate when people, especially two people who aren't even... I'm not even sure that they're in a relationship. They want to prove that they won a couple's challenge.
Yeah.
I was like, you're not even a couple.
Yep.
So like, how dare you cheat and take it away from, hey, creative, how dare you cheat and take that away from an actual couple who's actually trying? You know, yeah. I thought that was a good call. And I think it's a good lesson between the two of them because they've been cheating us this whole time, making us, well, trying to make us believe that they're working on a non-existent relationship. So this was a good wake-up call for them both, like, hey, everybody isn't going to take your bullshit, right? Yeah. And I think Josh is a player, and there's nothing wrong with being a player. I think that he's single and he's having fun, and then when it's time for him to pretend to be in a relationship for money, he's willing to do that. That's fine. I just don't want to watch it on the show. It's kind of annoying at this point. And then the way he tries to make it seem like she's crazy all the time, I don't like it when a guy, whenever a woman shows too much emotion, the guy's like, oh, you're just crazy.
Well,
I don't like that either. She is crazy, but I do feel like that's like a cop-out. Like, you do something that you know is going to upset a woman, and then when she reacts emotionally, you want to call her crazy. I'm not a fan of that thing that guys do.
I can't even take them seriously. Even if I tried, I can't take them seriously. They're the only couple on this season that's not even married. They're not actually dating. They don't have each other's address. Like, none of this is legit. I cannot with them. The only believable couple on this season is Brandon, and Brandon alone.
That's true.
I don't even believe Julia.
Well,
I believe Brandon.
I think Stacy and Florian are legit. I'm pretty sure they're legit.
I don't think they're legit.
They're a real couple.
Oh, I think they're a real couple. 100%. But I don't think they have problems.
Oh, no, you're right. They don't have any issues.
Their issue
was they could use a fat check.
Yep.
that was the issue.
Going into this, we knew Gino and Jasmine weren't together. Rob and Sophie aren't together. Josh and Natalie aren't together. Brandon and Julia made up problems. Stacy and Florian made up problems. And here we are.
No, you're right. This whole season is a bust.
It is.
But this is kind of the vibe of the show, though, because last season they brought Kalani and Asuelu when we knew that Kalani was not only dating someone else, but was, like, seriously in a relationship with someone else, and Asuelu was, too. And then they brought them back to the show to pretend like they were working on issues, and then Kalani just used it as a way to air out all the times that he lied and cheated on her. You know, so we knew that the vibe of the show was off. Oh, and they pulled Kelly and Molly on there.
Yeah. And
we knew for a fact that wasn't a thing. We knew that. That wasn't even a secret. They had went off on each other online before the show even aired. We already knew there was zero chance that Molly and Kelly were going to work it out.
Yep.
We knew that. There was no way. So this show has been satire from the beginning.
Yes.
They've been playing this little satire game with us, and I would rather, there are real people in the 98 universe who got real issues. You know, there really are people. I would love to have some of those people on the show and see real counseling and people actually working through issues that could end their relationship. I would watch that. I watch all types of shows like that.
100%.
I watched the couples therapy on VH1. I watch all those.
The only person that goes on this show that is even a little believable is Brandon. He looks like he has genuine concerns, a genuine need for counseling. Julia looks like she's there to just have a good time. Everybody else looks like they're reading from a script.
Actually, I do believe you with the Brandon situation. I think that he really has serious issues with Julia.
Yeah.
I think Julia doesn't care.
Yeah.
She has no issue with how she's living. Like, I think he has an issue with the way she acts and why she doesn't want to get pregnant and the way that she's doing things. But I don't think Julia sees any of those issues as actionable. So they really do need therapy and counseling because she's not addressing the issue. She's not acknowledging the issues. But like you said, they do exist. He does have a lot of animosity towards her. He called her a whore on TV. You know, like, I don't know, if you want to stay married, don't be calling your wife a whore on TV. Like, there's certain things you don't do.
Also, don't be acting like a whore if you want to stay married.
I mean, that's true, too. Dancing on bars in front of random people in booty shorts isn't necessarily what you do when you're married. I'm not saying what married people could and couldn't do, but most men would rather their wives not dance coochie out on the bar. Like, it's not something that they prefer. I'm not saying that women don't have the right to do whatever they want with their bodies, but your marriage might be a little less quarrelsome if you weren't doing that. You know, like, you can do it, but I'm just saying there's going to be issues at home.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't know.
Oh, so Ariella said that she thinks that Benny cheated on her when she was pregnant with Avi. So Avi is like, what, 3 or 4 now? So why are we discussing that issue? Isn't that a little outdated?
She has nothing else to talk about. They're not together. So she stole his identity. She stole his passwords. She's holding all that shit hostage. So she's the garbage human here. And so now she's got to figure out something that makes him look bad. And because I'm 1,000% Team Benny.
She didn't say she had proof. She said, I think he cheated on me while I was pregnant with Avi. And I was like, well, she's like, well, he needs to acknowledge that. And I was like, acknowledge your thought? I was like, you need more than a thought. I could say, I think Kara said I was stupid.
Yeah.
And you don't have to acknowledge that because it's a thought. Right. Yeah. You don't have to acknowledge my thoughts. Like, you have to actually be able to prove it. Like, I don't understand her at all. And she's like, and then after their date, she was like, oh, well, I wish this was the type of dates and stuff we could do more because we wouldn't have any issues. I was like, the issue is when you open your mouth. I was like, this date worked because y'all were in the super loud ATV and he couldn't hear you. Exactly. I was like, the problem is when you start talking and you start bitching at him and you make him feel like he's below you. You take away his right to use social media. You take away his right to do anything. He can't book jobs. You basically kidnapped him and hold him from working and making money. And then you wonder why he doesn't want to be around you.
Yeah.
Because she's like, he doesn't want to talk to you. I was like, I'm surprised he doesn't have a restraining order against you. To be absolutely honest, I'm surprised he doesn't call the cops when he sees you. Like, the fact that he's even here shows that this man needs his social media passwords. Give it back.
And you stole his freaking kid and moved to another country. And he's the bad guy.
Well, yeah, she'll probably say, oh, well, while I was in another country, he cheated on me. And I'm like, well, why were you in another country? Again, not saying that he should have cheated, but if you would have stayed your ass with your husband, with your kid, he wouldn't have had any time to be doing that because he would have been helping you take care of y'all's kid, right? Like, and I don't want to victim blame, but sometimes when you end up in these type of situations, you have a little, like, why would you take your child as an infant? Again, this happened to Benny before with another child.
Yeah.
As an infant, the girl took the kid away from him and refused to let him see the kid. You do the exact same thing. So you know that there is a wound. You reopen the wound. and then you don't like the way he reacts to you doing that. And it's like, okay, I'm not playing your game. I'm not going to fall for your crap.
Yeah. It's
pathetic. All right, so we're going to talk about Natalie laughing at Sophie at the group session, okay? So Sophie was called lazy because Rob said, no matter what I do, it's never enough. No matter what effort I put in, Sophie doesn't put in the same amount of effort. So basically, Rob said that he was doing all the rowing, right? So all the guys decided to do all the rowing because that was the, what do you call it? The brunt of the work, right? So yeah. Because that you want it was timed, you have to be first, whatever. So the guys were doing the rowing. And Rob felt like she just kind of sat there and held the ball, which was her job. She wasn't supposed to row, right? So technically she was doing what she was supposed to do. But I think that this was more metaphorical for him because he feels like in their marriage and in their relationship, quotes, he's always doing the most work or always trying to fix things. And she's just like, eh, if it works, it doesn't. If it works, you know, and I do understand that. And that's why a lot of people online feel that their relationship was false and fake from Sophie's standpoint from the beginning. But there was a time where Rob thought it was real.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's so annoyed with her, because I think he didn't find out that they were running a scam together until after he was already in the scam.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that's why he's so irritated, because he was like, well, why didn't you just tell me we were running a scam from the beginning? And I would have been more receptive to the scam. He thought that they were legit getting married and going to be together. That was never the case. She didn't tell him until probably after they got married, like, oh, I don't even like men. You know, I'm into women. This was just so I could get here, and I needed money, and you helped me. I helped you. Everybody wins. And I think that's why he's so irritated.
Yeah. Rightfully so. I mean, I feel like he's given it a lot of effort to someone who communicates by whether she's happy or sad by turning a stuffed animal around or inside out or whatever it is. Right then and there, I'd have been like, okay, I actually need to be with an adult. So you're going to have to kick rocks.
Well, I think he's ready to kick rocks, but he's also not ready to get rid of the checks. I think he realizes that Sophie did put him in a good situation. But I do think he's irritated with her because he didn't know he was in the situation until he was already in it. I don't think that he would have turned it down. I think if she would have told him from the beginning, he would have been down. He didn't have plumbing. He would have been down. Yeah. I think he's annoyed that she played him and he didn't know he was in the scam. You know how your friend asks you for a ride, you take them to the bank, and then they come out with a mask on and they just rob the bank. And you're like, why didn't you tell me you were robbing the bank? Now I'm going to go to jail with you. I feel like that's kind of how he feels. She was scamming the whole time. He was driving the car, but he didn't realize that he was a part of the scam until it was too late.
She needed her green card and someone to pay for the Visa. She got just that.
And somebody to pay for her mom.
Yeah.
Her mom needed to get over here too. And Rob was the sucker. I mean, and I don't think Rob paid for everything. I think they got over here and they grifted off of other people.
Yeah.
But they needed a sucker to get her over here, because as far as I heard, she's tried to get over here before.
Yep.
This isn't the first time she tried to get over here. This is the first time it worked.
Yeah.
She was consistent with getting over here. And I think her rich family, quotes, they caught on to the grifting between her and her mom. And I think they've been cut off for a while. And I think they were like, well, nobody on this side of the pond is going to let us grift off of them anymore. So we need to go on this side of the pond. Because there's a bunch of people who don't realize what we're about, and that's what they're doing now. Yep. I think that's whole situation. Oh, and he expressed his trauma about it early in the relationship. Yeah, Rob did. Rob has been open. Like, what does that feel bad for Rob? I don't know, because he could have easily left her and moved forward. But the checks are great when you're doing these shows, y'all, and you know what it's like to struggle. I get Rob's situation.
Yeah.
He struggled for a long time. And this situation that she put him in, it's a great situation to be in. So it's almost like he can't stand her, but he also is grateful.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. That's why he's always he's treading the fence. He's like, I can't stand her, but I also like her. You know, like, 'cause Rob is always conflicted. Every time he has something to say about her, it's a positive and negative at the same time. And I think that's why. Is there any proof Sophie comes from money? Okay, so kind of, there's no actual proof. Sophie said on the show that her grandfather was extremely wealthy and she didn't know where the money came from. And the family always had money. And then, but She also said in on the same episode that she always worked and took care of herself. So I don't know if there's like truth to it. I don't think that her family has as much money as they say, or they could be very well off, but they cut her and her mom off early on.
I was gonna say, I have a feeling that her family is very wealthy. Like, my grandmother is very wealthy. Very wealthy. I haven't talked to a woman in 9 years. That doesn't make me wealthy.
Well, yeah. Their money does not equate to your money.
Exactly.
Because actually,
if I went to a different country, I can be like, yeah, my grandma's loaded. And I'm not lying, but I have no rights to her money.
Well, that happened with Rob, too. There's a bunch of people in Rob's family that are high up in the political, and they have good money. But again, Rob probably doesn't talk to these people. Their money doesn't equate to your money. So a lot of people are like, oh, well, he comes from money, too. And I was like, family money does not equate to your money. I have lots of people in my family that are super rich. I have a lot of people in my family that are super poor.
Yep.
None of them help me either way. So, you know, like, it doesn't equate. Yeah, it doesn't equate to your own. So I don't know if Sophie really came from a lot of money. I'll be real. My opinion is that Sophie has never worked a day. Sophie has never worked hard a day in her life. She probably has worked, not hard.
Yes.
She just doesn't. She doesn't come across as a person who has worked hard.
I don't know.
She's probably worked.
I've never put together an OnlyFans video. I don't know if it's hard or not.
I mean, she's doing her OnlyFans, and I mean, even if before that, if she, because she said, "Oh, I used to wait tables. I used to do bartending." And I was like, but were you just one of those big boob girls who waited tables who would get big tips just because your boobs were hanging out? Or did you really work on a Friday night during the rush and you could really take the brunt of it and you did a good job? I don't think she did. I think that she just was, her boobs was out and there was drunk dudes and they tipped her. They probably didn't even get their orders, half their orders. She probably didn't even get it right. But the boobs were there, you know, and they were just like, oh, we're drunk and that's cool. Let's tip her.
See, she just posted that she just got her boobs done.
I did.
So that was TLC money well spent.
Well, I feel like such a waste of money. But yeah, like of all the things that she's done, this is her third season.
Yeah.
So she's gotten a pretty decent amount of money. I haven't seen a car that she bought. I haven't seen a house that she put a down payment on. You know, like some people did the show and they made excellent financial decisions. Right? Like, they've used the money and the notoriety. Like, for instance, Cara Colonna from Cara and Guillermo. She owns her own home. She's a real estate agent. She's raising her son. She used this. Oh, she's promoting her music. Yep. She's used this opportunity to boost her personal life and her success. And then we have, you know, some people, they do a bunch of seasons and they just get boobs every time they get a check. And it's like, you got to invest in something other than your boobs.
Yeah.
You know, like, because you can't be 65 years old hoping to still get through life on your boobs. And you know, like, you got to have something to fall back on.
Once you get boobs that are so big that can't go bigger, you get a rectangle butt.
Yeah, that's true. And then what happens when that butt finally deflates and those boobs finally deflate? You got to have something to fall back on. That's why I respect the people who do the show. Like, Miona, for instance, she did the show, and she took the money from the show and started a business. And
she built the whole empire.
I respect her. I mean, she came on the show already married. Whatever. That's her hustle. But she didn't go get new boobs. She didn't go get a new ass. She was like, I'm going to start a business, and I'm going to build a foundation. And then she was able to leave the husband that she didn't want to be with anymore because he wouldn't work. And now she's with a man who's working. He works for Oprah's network.
Yeah.
She changed... I respect that when you take the opportunity and you make the absolute best of the opportunity, I respect you so much more. If you go get an upside down BBL and some strangely spaced apart boobs with your check, you're not thinking about your future or your kids at this point.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are you thinking about? Like, at least get a house or a car or start a business. Do something that's going to be a residual income for you. Because at some point, you can't get by off your boobs and your ass. And Sophie is thinking that she can. And she's, what, 23?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she think that? You know, why wouldn't you? At that age, it's so easy to walk into a place, dress the way she dresses, and get whatever she wants. But in 20 years, it might not be that easy. Look at Darcy and Stacey. Yep. It's not as easy as it used to be, okay? Yeah. Like, people, as you get older, it's just not as easy to convince a man to deposit 10 grand into your account. It gets harder.
Yeah, it's going to be quite eye-opening for a lot of these people as age hits them.
Yeah, you're right. And as they age out of the show, too, because, like, Ariella, this is probably the last time we're going to see Ariella. There's no reason why she would ever re-enter the show, the network. So this is going to be a hard-hitting reality for her. This is her last big check. Yep. She hasn't worked in God knows how long. And her parents, Lord, they're like in their 70s.
Yeah.
When are they going to have to stop taking care of her?
Yep.
Right? Can you imagine being 78 years old? Her mom's like 78 years old, still working full-time so she can keep Ariella and Avi housed. Yep. When are you going to give your mom a break? You know?
Yeah.
You are an able-bodied human being who could take care of yourself and your kids. And I would think she would want to take care of her parents. After all of these years of her parents taking care of her, you would think she would want to repay them.
It
never crossed her mind. Yeah. Literally never crossed her mind. She literally only thinks of herself. And that's pretty sad.
Yeah. It's disgusting, actually.
Well, I think that's it for this episode, right? We talked about Sophie. Yeah. Oh, wait. We talked about Sophie, Natalie laughing at Sophie, right? Yeah, we talked about that. Again, I'm not a Natalie fan, but the lazy comment was on point. But we can't, what do you call it? When you have too many issues, you can't laugh at other people's issues. Like, sweep around your own front door before you sweep around mine. So Natalie laughing at Sophie is out of line because Natalie's got just as many issues, if not more, than Sophie. So her judgmental, cringy laughing is just like, that's why you're here. That's why you've been married 3 times. That's why the guy you're here with won't tell you where he lives. Yeah. That's why, you know, he left for 3 days in the middle of counseling and didn't even tell you why.
Yeah.
That this is why we're here, because of your weird, cringy laughing at other people. You need to work on yourself. And, you know, I do get irritated when I hear Sophie talk, because Sophie is like a rapid, constant complainer at times. So I can understand where she came from. Because it's like, oh my God, every time she talks, she's complaining about somebody else. There's never any personal accountability. I get it. I've noticed that about Sophie from day one. She never did anything wrong. She's a perfect human being. She's an angel. She's never made a mistake. And every man in the world is a problem. That's just the world that she lives in. I get it. But Natalie, you're kind of the same way. Natalie looks at men as a way to pay rent. And I think that's why she has never stayed married. Because they don't have feelings.
Right. She's never worked.
And she looks at men as providers, which you're supposed to some extent, you know, back in the day, that's what they were. But they don't have feelings. She doesn't care if they're happy. She doesn't care if they get along. They just need to marry her so she can exchange sex for money, so she can have someone to take care of her. And it's ironic because she doesn't like being called a hooker. That's kind of the definition of a hooker, except you marry the person, right? That's literally kind of how it works. You have sex with them and then they pay you. And that's kind of what she expects. That's what she expected from Mike. That's what she expected from Josh. Her other husband, I'm pretty sure that's why he left her.
Yeah.
You know, I think that if she looked at men as people, she might actually be able to be in a normal relationship, but she doesn't. Men are just someone that are supposed to pay for things for her. Josh said it. I hate to be on Josh's side, but he was like, whenever I hear from her, she needs money. She needs a car. She needs Uber rides. She needs an audition recommendation. She needs something for her mom. That's when he hears from her.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a turnoff for a guy. A guy wants to be needed in more than one way. It has to be more than financial. A guy wants to feel needed for lots of different things. When a bill comes, the only time you hear from her is when a bill comes. That's not the time. I mean, it's good to know that you're that source of security, but you want to be more than that.
Yeah.
And that's why she's never built a real relationship, because she doesn't care if the man is okay, happy, sick, sad, doing okay. As long as he's paying for stuff, that's all that matters.
Absolutely. It's disgusting.
All right. So we're going to wrap, guys. We're going to wrap. Next Sunday night is the tell-all part one for the before the 90 days. And there's a lot of stuff that we are going to I don't know how much we'll see on part one, but we found out that Brian said that Ingrid had a boyfriend while filming. We also see that Niles and Adnan were trying to scrap. So we're going to see that. And Adnan, we found out, is going to be the Spockles of this season. He's the one that's saying all the crazy out of line things to everyone at the tell-all.
Yeah.
So he's the Spockles. Every time somebody says something, he has something nasty to say to them. So be prepared for Adnan and his wrath. He's going to be releasing his wrath on everyone at this tell-all, which is fun. You know, I like to see the villains and the crazy people acting crazy. Yeah, I'm glad to have Kara back as well. It's been too long.
Glad to have Kara back.
Make sure you're following Kara, by the way. I'm going to tag her in this video. Follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in the George Massey Show. Thanks for staying up with us. Everybody have a good night. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.